The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Dr. Brendan O'Shea is a Kildare doctor, medical director at KDOC and assistant professor of primary care at Trinity College Dublin. And Jen Hogan, columnist with the Irish Times, join me now to discuss the latest CSO report on children's health, which highlights strong overall health amongst Irish children, but also raises concerns about dental care and access to services. Brendan, Jen, you're both very welcome. Brendan, if I could start with you, how are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Have you seen these figures yourself?
Have had a look and a quick run through them. This is just released this week, a survey by the CSO. It's on a sample of 6,000 surveys, randomly selected from the Census 2022 database. So that's what it is. It's not a very big sample, but it's providing an interesting information.
When I looked down it, I found myself getting lost in the statistics very kind of quickly. It says things like 9 in 10, 92% of children aged 2 to 17 considered to be in good or very good health. General dental health, 4 in 5 saying very good, good to very good. You get lost very, very quickly in the whole thing. You just wonder, are we doing better? Are we improving?
Well, in some respects, it did strike me as being a bit bland. And again, I'd go back to the methodology. So this was an invitation. It was sent digitally, and it was it was a digital survey. So that works fine for kind of middle Ireland, but you'd really be wondering whether important subgroups are being missed out in this. Paradoxically, if a house has a child with a serious medical condition, I think in a lot of instances that house is under a lot of pressure. And I think you're less likely to have people responding to this kind of survey. Likewise, houses that are not digitally literate, houses that are chaotic. So I think we might be missing an important number of households, which in turn might be reflected in the fact that the data is, you know, the middle Ireland are doing fine kind of thing. Other strikingly absent things from it relate to any concrete data on overweight. Now, we understand from another survey, which is the Growing Up in Ireland project, which is much tighter data, gathering, that overweight is a really significant issue, with around 15%, 20% of 15 to 24 year olds overweight and 8% obese. So we're not really getting that feel, and the whole issue of overweight doesn't seem to have been addressed in this survey.
It's funny, when I saw the WAS report, the two things that I became curious about straight away was one, if you were starting to see any kind of change in mental health around phone use, because, you know, this is the generation that's pretty much been born with phones in their hands. And also, I was thinking too, are there any lingering issues around COVID? Because it's also the generation that was taken out of school, isn't it?
Well, we're not going to get answers to those important questions from this survey. So I think the impact of I think the survey is interesting because all data is interesting. But certainly if you're looking for a more granular feel to what's really going on in the hearts and minds and bodies of our young people, I would recommend the Growing Up in Ireland study, which has been running for around 30 years, based on three cohorts. And they really look at these issues in great detail. Certainly when we go back to practice. In practice, and when we see people, parents and children, and particularly adolescents coming into us, I'm not really certain that the overview provided by this survey really captures the reality of that. There is quite a significant amount of stress and upset. As doctors, we're actually really quite worried about the degree of overweight, and the amount of anxiety that we're seeing in young adolescents is really quite significant. And none of that really is captured or reflected in this day, in this survey.
Is that weight thing something that you've seen a significant change in over your lifetime as a GP?
I think any of us who've been around for a couple of decades are seeing the most amazing changes. And again, it is good to pause and reflect. This group of adolescents, many of us believe, have been profoundly affected by the impact of the pandemic and the disruption. Then there's the power of increasingly powerful digital and social media. So society is changing, households are changing, and a lot of it is really fantastic. I mean, Ireland is arguably a much more interesting place in the last decade. It's become much more culturally and ethnically heterogeneous. We're seeing that in practice, and a lot of that is good. But going back to this particular CSO survey published this week, I think it's missing the bit around overweight. It does highlight one or two issues that are relevant to nutrition. As many, I think, as 10 to 15% of 13 to 17-year-olds don't eat any fruit and vegetables on a day-by-day basis. And again, this goes back to balanced diet, nutrition, and links into overweight. So it's good to highlight these issues this morning in any event.
Yeah, and the other thing is access to dental care. That seems like there's a few issues there, isn't there?
Well, I'm in practice in Kildare, and in Kildare it's actually quite difficult to sign on with a GP, but it's practically totally impossible to get in with a dentist. Now, my area of interest is in general practice. I'm not sure what's going on in the dental space, but certainly as access to dental care is not a straightforward issue for a lot of households.
You were saying that this does reflect, you know, maybe people who have access to computers and have the time to do this. You would expect that those who don't probably see a lot more issues around weight and nutrition and dental care.
Well, like I say, the methodology of this study, in my mind, is significantly limited. I'm not certain that this is the best way to really research these issues. And again, I'd refer back to the Growing Up in Ireland study. All the data is free. It's very well presented. And it certainly does drill into this. I think as a society, I think we do really quite well by our children and young people, but there's no doubt we could do better. And definitely this is absolutely not the same for all households. There are many households that are stressed, and I think their experience isn't really reflected in this data.
Okay, and one of the things you're saying you see is increases in the level of anxiety in children coming to you, is it?
Certainly, any of us who are in general practice on a week by week basis, we will have young people and adolescents coming to us with various crises. It can be just the regular growing up stuff, issues in relation to sexual health, issues in relation to clinically significant anxiety and depression. And the ongoing care and support we provide, we hope, is helpful. But it is a difficult time to be an adolescent, I suppose it's always been. But the rate of change, societal change, is absolutely phenomenal these last decades.
And that translates into family stresses, does it?
Absolutely. It is good to take a broader perspective on this. And again, the traditional middle-income Irish home, for example, is almost certainly being experienced by a reducing number of households. I think it's probably more helpful to consider households as such that are constituted in a whole lot of different ways. This is the study we're discussing. To use an Eamon Dunphy, it may be a good study, not a great study. Probably very easy for them to collect this data, but we do have to be aware of the limits. Who's particularly likely to respond to this kind of a survey, and more especially, who's not in a position to respond to it. So I think if we bear that in mind and keep a focus. But if you were spending a little bit of reading time, News Talk listeners, I would certainly recommend the Growing Up in Ireland database. Very well explored, very rigorous methodology, far more detail, much more objective measurement rather than looking back at people's recollections or soft beliefs. It's based on activities. It's a fantastic study, and well done us for doing it, and that reflects well in the CSO.
Thanks for that, Brendan. I'm going to read these statistics and then go off and read the Growing Up in Ireland report. Seems to be the main thing I'm taking for those stats. Thank you very much indeed, Brendan. Thanks very much. Brendan O'Shea there, Kildare GP, Medical Director at KDOC and Assistant Professor of Primary Care at Trinity College Dublin. Jen, very interesting things. Mm. I'll maybe go to them in a moment from Brendan. But what was your own take on the CSO figures?
Yeah, a lot of what Brendan said there resonated. I'd also second the Growing Up in Ireland study is outstanding and very worth referring to. But what he was saying around the obesity and overweight and things like that, that actually jumped out as me as something that wasn't covered in there. And I would think that's something that parents should be very aware of, and the subjective nature of the reporting too. The fact that this was parents reporting back on how their children were doing, which is great, and it is.
Yeah.
There was lots, I suppose, that we could take from it, which suggests that our children are doing well. But before we go kind of patting ourselves on the back, we do need to look at the limitations of it and the fact that you probably have parents reporting back things around their general health, and you wonder how well placed they are to report it. The fact that we didn't have this discussion around obesity or being overweight, and I don't know if parents even necessarily recognise sometimes if their child is a little bit overweight. I think that's a difficult one, and it's a very difficult conversation to have at the moment because there's such sensitivity around that issue. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be having that conversation, because it is very important.
It's a major health issue, isn't it?
Excuse me.
It will develop into a major health issue.
It is a major health issue. And as well, the report also didn't divide into whether it was mental health or physical health around the issues that children were struggling with, or where they did have difficulties. So that was kind of a big thing. And again, goes back to the kind of limitations of it.
Yeah.
It's certainly not in keeping with the sort of things that I hear. So I'm speaking to parents day in, day out. And I am conscious, you know, no parent is probably going to send me a message going, "Hiya, Jen, do you know what? My kids are doing great." So I am hearing the other side of things. But when you hear about the struggles that parents are having to get supports for their children, they're on waiting lists, they can't get assessments that they need, so they can't access the supports that they need. So the impact, not only are they not getting those supports, that's having a huge impact on mental health, on the child who maybe is struggling without those supports, but also on their siblings. So these kind of challenges, I suppose, aren't captured in there, or children not being able to see dentists. That one really stood out to me, because there is a real difficulty, and it's something I spoke to parents about as well in the past. How often can you actually get to see your HSE dentist, or can you how often do you access the dentist, and there's the cost involved if you can even get there. And the fact that there were a lot of parents who came back and said they haven't been called for HSE dentist, or they haven't been called for years. So when we're hearing all these report, or hearing this kind of report back going 80-something% of children are doing well dentally, you're going, well, when did they last see a dentist to confirm that? Is this a parent saying, my kids' teeth are great? How do we measure that? Because they're not in pain. Is that our measure? It's difficult to know how much comfort we can take from it.
When I read through it, I couldn't get any sense of anything.
Yeah.
I couldn't say, are we better than we were before? Are we as good as the EU? Are we better than the UK? Are we slipping behind? Are we going forward? I just seemed like a whole load of different gobbledygook figures.
Yeah, I didn't find it particularly helpful. And I did worry that it was a case of, look at how great our kids are doing. And like, bear in mind the age that we're looking at. We're looking at 2 to 17. You would expect them largely to be healthy. You would expect children largely to be healthy, or hope that that's the young generation. You would hope that most would be healthy. So when we're looking at some of the statistics about them doing well in some regards, this is where you'd hope to be. I do think, though, that we're in danger of kind of focusing so much on that we forget we have 103,000 children living in consistent poverty, or that we have not far short of 5,000 children homeless. We forget about those sort of things and the impact that it has on them. And I wonder how many children there or families there were involved in that actual study. So I don't know, a bit like Brendan says there, I'm not sure how reflective it is. It just seemed to be an awful lot of information.
It seems out of touch to me. It seems like a pat on the back for people who are doing okay. I'm not paying the blindest bit of attention to all the things that are wrong. Supports is a thing I hear an awful lot about.
It's huge.
When people can't get supports, it devastates their child's outcomes, their own family lives.
Absolutely, because we know with things like assessments and that need of supports, that early intervention is key. And if they cannot get the supports that they need, the impact it has on the child, the impact it has on the family, the impact it has for the future. Even you were talking there about the pandemic and things like that. Only time, I suppose, is going to tell us the long term consequences. But we should be, and looking very specifically as what has the fallout been for children and adolescents who were disproportionately impacted by the restrictions. So what's the consequence of that?
That would have been an awful lot more useful.
And I think it's something parents would have been very curious about.
And
even going back to there, they're not being able to access supports or assessments, the backlogs that there were, trying to catch up there. And it's all, it comes back to sometimes whether you can get those assessments or supports. It's how much money you have. Can you afford to go privately? And even then you're struggling to try and find someone.
To go on about the COVID thing, the stresses of that are still in the world.
Still
right now, for instance, if you've got a family, if you have kids doing their leaving cert, the grades are
that's right. We were
so they're saying that. They're saying, "Oh, I'm worried about getting in now because this year is when they're rolling back the grades."
And they're worried about that kind of return towards kind of more normal levels of grades. And that kind of concern for our young people is still out there. the attempt to return to normal, and yet they miss this crucial part of their development and these crucial opportunities to interact. And the anxiety that Brendan spoke of there, I hear this from parents all the time. Things around, I mean, difficulties about attending school or other worries and challenges. And I would love to have seen more focus on that and more breakdowns around children's mental health and teenage mental health and anxiety, and see how are they actually doing. As well as, you know, obviously we want to know about their physical health. It was good to see that some of the, I read the statistics around eating vegetables and fruit and vegetables. But then as you see, as they progress through the ages and go towards the teen years, that starts to fall off again. There was so much focus on this percentage, this high percentage are doing well, that we actually, when you look at it,
I got the impression we're doing well compared to where we were in the 50s or something. It was like, it just.
But seemed, again, the context was missing. Yeah, we weren't quite getting that in comparison to where. So
with such things going on at the moment, because I mentioned the phones, but the phones are bringing all the worries of the current world in, which at the moment is, let's face it, war in Europe, war in Gaza, and a president who's worrying everyone in America.
Yeah,
they feed into children.
They absolutely do, and the kids can't escape it. Like, they can't escape it, because no matter where it is, you can. I know we talk about making sure younger children don't have phones, and I'm totally on board with that. Like, the idea that we try to delay smartphone usage. But it's everywhere. It's on their smart televisions. Where
it's
on their ordinary. They can't avoid it. And in ways that perhaps we could have protected children in generations previous, we can't now, because it's coming at them nonstop. And the world seems such a grim place at the moment. Yeah. You know, it is
well,
hard.
If adults are turning away from the news.
Yeah.
What's the interest?
You can understand how it can be completely overwhelming for children. So look, it's good. Some of them look positive. But again, context is everything.
Saint praise there, Jim. Thank you very much indeed. Jen Hogan, their columnist with the Irish Times.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.